in preparation, because the subject is really the backdrop to my life. And it's also the backdrop to your life. And that subject is the state of our hearts, the purity of our hearts. And most of you will know that the theme for our teaching and preaching in this current season is walking by the Spirit. And you may wonder, well, how relevant is this subject to walking by the Spirit? And if you are wondering that, I want to reassure you, this subject is absolutely at the center of walking by the Spirit. It is of the utmost relevance, and it's very important to God. It's so important to God that you will find this subject, the purity of our hearts, woven throughout the Scriptures, both the Old and the New Testament. So what I want to do this morning is look at a few Scriptures, just a few, to highlight how important this subject is. And then secondly, to unpack it a bit so we can see what it looks like. And then thirdly, to give you some suggestions as to how we respond to it. And in fact, I'm going to give you three suggestions. So let's start off then with a passage in James chapter 4. Who would like to get their prayers answered? Only Frida. Huh? Okay. If so, listen up. In verse 2, partway through, he says, "You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that the Spirit he caused to live in us envies intensely? But he gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." Strong words. James is a very practical letter, actually. There's a lot of practical advice about what we should do and how we should do things. And then in the middle of it, there is this exhortation built around this quotation about what the Scripture says about the Spirit that he calls to live in us. And he says that the Holy Spirit that God calls to dwell in us longs jealously, intensely for our hearts. He longs for us to be wholehearted towards God. So you can see why the purity of our hearts is of the utmost relevance to walking by the Spirit. Because what the Spirit longs for is for our hearts to be pure, for us to be wholehearted towards God. Hence his encouragement, his exhortation to purify your hearts, you double-minded. And the result will be closeness to God. As we draw near to him, he draws near to us. Compare this with Psalm 24 in the Old Testament, where the psalmist says, The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all who live in it. For he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false. Purity of heart, again, is the main issue here. And what this psalm indicates to us is that purity of heart is actually based on an understanding that everything belongs to the Lord. The earth is the Lord's, everything in it, every person in it, every one of you and me. We belong to the Lord. If we understand that, it makes obedience so much easier because we're His. Everything is His. And it's that understanding that our lives belong to Him that makes it possible for us to be pure in heart. If you think that part of your life belongs to God and part is yours, then you're going to be double-minded. There's never going to be that purity of heart. So we need to understand that everything belongs to the Lord. It's all His. And that's an amazing privilege, actually, that we are His, that He owns us. What else does Psalm 24 tell us? That recognizing that and seeking to purify our heart leads to closeness again with God, which is just what James said, wasn't it? Draw near to God, He will draw near to you. The psalmist puts it in another way. He says, who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in His holy place? He's made a way for us through Christ to stand in His presence, to be with Him. But often the impurity of our heart puts a cloud over our fellowship with Him. The purer our heart, the closer we can experience the presence of God, the closeness of God. There's an indictment of Israel in Isaiah, and Jesus also quotes it in Matthew. He says, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. These people, they say all the right things. They go through all the motions. It all sounds good, but their hearts are far from me. That was an indictment of Israel. Also in Matthew, in the Beatitudes, in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, what I think is probably the pinnacle of the Beatitudes, Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Again, it speaks of that closeness with Him. Drawing close, experiencing intimacy, seeing God, seeing His heart, seeing the smile on His face, seeing the warmth of His love. And to be blessed in this context means that you have true joy and fulfillment. True joy and fulfillment comes through having a pure heart, because the pure in heart are blessed, for they will see God. Which is why there is this exhortation to purify our hearts. I see it a bit like cleaning windows. Anyone clean their windows or get someone to clean their windows? Why do we clean our windows? Is it so that we can say, hey, everybody, look at my clean windows. Aren't they lovely and clean? Or is it just so that you can see through them? You clean your windows so you can see clearly. And purifying your heart is just the same. You do it not so you can say, look at me, haven't I got a really pure heart? No, it's because you want to see him more clearly. Because blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. How do we purify our hearts? With a complete submission of our hearts, our lives, our ambitions, our desires helps us. It leads us to a place of purity of heart, a place where we want what God wants, a place where we know the heart of God, we can see the heart of God, we can see God. And you know, it's this sort of relationship and this purity of heart that's more important to God than anything else. It really is more important to him than anything else. More important than gifts and knowledge and power and anointing, all the things that we often seek. As far as God is concerned, the purity of your heart is far more important. So, first suggestion as to how we respond. And this comes from Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, where he says, above all else. In other words, this is the number one priority of your life. This is of the utmost importance over everything else. Yes? This is the number one priority for you and me. What is it? Above all else, guard your heart. For everything you do flows from it. Everything you do flows from it. So that's why it's the most important thing. That's why we need to do this above all else, to guard our hearts. If a spring is polluted, then the waters that flow from it are polluted. However impressive they may look. So they may look as impressive as Niagara Falls. But if it comes from a polluted source, it will, to some extent, be polluted water. And the heart is the source. It is the spring. Everything we do flows from it. That's why we need to guard our hearts. Samuel, the Old Testament prophet, was sent by God to anoint a new king in Israel. And he knew he had to go to the house of Jesse. So Jesse lined up his sons, and the first one came out. And Samuel thought, oh, this is the guy. What a strapping guy. Tall, strong. He looks just the part. Clearly the right man. And God said, mm-mm. And he had to remind Samuel of something. He says, the Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So instead of this eldest son, or indeed any of the next five, God had chosen the skinny red-haired one who happened to be out looking after the sheep, called David, because he was a man after God's own heart. But it's right. We tend to look on the outside, don't we? We are impressed by the most skillful, the most eloquent, the most physically attractive, the most talented, the cleverest, the strongest personalities, the charismatic people. But God looks on the heart. That's the most important thing for him. That's what really matters as far as he is concerned. We'll often follow people because of all of those other things. But we are unwise to neglect the heart. I would say to you, don't follow me as a leader just because you think I can preach a good sermon or I can pray eloquently or because I know my Bible quite well. Because those things are all trumped by the state of our hearts, the purity of our hearts. That's the thing that really matters, that's really important. So look for a heart that is after God. However, I will admit, it's not always easy to tell what's in people's hearts. We can hide our hearts from other people. We can put on a front. We can put on a good appearance. But God sees our hearts. He knows what's going on inside. We can't hide our hearts from God. It says he knows the very thoughts and intents of our hearts. He knows the true motivation behind all that we say and do. This is what you're really like. This is what you're like when no one else can see you. We do get some indications, though, of the state of our hearts and the state of other people's hearts. The only motivation that is acceptable to God and pleasing to God is devotion to God. It's the only reason to do things that's really acceptable and pleasing to God. When we do it out of pure love for God. And often our motivation is mixed. People are often motivated or driven by other things. So they might be motivated or driven by a desire for praise from other people. We do it because we want a pat on the back. We do it because we want people to say, yeah, you're good. We do it because we want to win acceptance. We do it because we want recognition for me and my ministry and my calling and my gifts. Because sadly, we often get our identity from these things. God looks on the heart. That's what's important for him. Often with driven people, people who are driven by all these other motivations, there is a restlessness in their souls. Because true peace, true joy only comes with purity of heart, purity of our love for God. And driven people tend to be restless. They also find that their integrity is easily eroded. Under the pressure, it's easy to let the integrity slip a little bit. They also find that they are more prone to fall for the seductions of this world because the strength of heart is not there. The pure in heart, on the other hand, they're not so much driven as called. And they've still got a strong sense of purpose and a strong commitment to it, but they don't rely on it for their identity. They know who they are in God, and they just want to please him. They just want to do his will. And their integrity is very important to them because it's very important to God. Says God desires truthfulness in the inward parts. Integrity is very important to him. The called person has a stronger inner being to withstand the pressures, to withstand the temptations, because their hearts are rooted in the love of God. They also understand stewardship. They understand that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it is His. Their lives belong to Him. It's all about what He wants. They are just stewards of what He's given them. So they don't own anything. It's not about their gifts and their calling and their ministry. It's only about what God wants. Because it's all from God and it's all for God and to God. They refer even small actions to God, because their heart delights in Him and Him alone. Do you know the state of your own heart? How well do you know your heart? How well are you aware of what motivates you? Why do you do the things that you do? What's going on inside? Jeremiah, it says, the heart is deceitful above all things. The heart is deceitful above all things. Who can understand it? Who can know it? We don't even know our own heart sometimes. We don't even know what's really going on inside, what drives us, what motivates us, why we do the things that we do. But God knows. He knows our hearts. He knows every thought, every attitude. He knows exactly what's going on inside. And that's why my second suggestion is this: pray and ask God to show you what's in your heart. The psalmist does this in Psalm 139. If you remember, that's the song that talks about, I can't get away from God, He's everywhere. He knows all my thoughts. And he finishes up by saying, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. It's a prayer. It's a prayer to God to shine His light into our hearts. Please do it, Lord. Show me what's in my heart. Show me if there's anything in my heart which is offensive, which is impure, and help me to deal with it so that I can walk in the way of everlasting life. And if we pray that prayer, God has an abundance of grace to answer it and help us to know our hearts. Because we are prone to wander, and you get so many examples of this in the scriptures that are written there as illustrations to us, as lessons to us. So you get David, who started off as a man after God's own heart, and yet at some point he did not guard his heart well enough, and the results were disastrous. And then you get his son, Solomon, who again started off well. His heart really seemed to be for God. But he allowed it to become corrupted, and it didn't finish well. We need to constantly guard our hearts. So here is a third suggestion. Build the Sabbath rest into your lives. Now, that may seem strange because you think, well, we do. Most working people these days have, in fact, 2 days off, don't they? We're more generously provided for than most of the generations that went before us. They worked 6 days and they had 1 day off. Most working people these days work 5 days and have 2 days off. The trouble is that we can tend to fill that Sabbath with leisure and entertainment. And that's not what Sabbath rest is meant to be about. Now, that doesn't mean to say you can't enjoy leisure and entertainment, but don't treat it as a substitute, because that's not what Sabbath is about. God gave Sabbath to man for a purpose, not to be legalistic, but because it benefits us. It is good for us to have a Sabbath rest. It's an opportunity to stop from all that we're doing, to look to God and to reflect. Why have I been doing the things that I've been doing? What's motivated me? What's it all about? What's in my heart? Unless we stop and reflect on that, we just tend to carry on, don't we? Week after week after week. The Sabbath is meant to be an opportunity to stop and reflect and say, why am I living like this? What's in my heart? What's motivating me? And allow God to speak into that as we look to Him. And if we did that at least once a week, I reckon our hearts would be in a lot better shape. Because God will respond to that, will help us to see what's motivated us, what's been in our hearts, will help us to recognize what really is important, to reestablish ourselves and to go forward with a renewed dedication. So, what's all this been about? It's been about the purity of our hearts, because as far as God is concerned, it is the number one most important thing. It's more important than anything else. And therefore, the first suggestion is guard your heart. Whatever else you do, above all else, guard your heart. It really is that important. Secondly, because we often don't know our hearts, ask God to show you what's in your heart, to show you whether any of your motivation, the things that are driving you, the things that are causing you to do things the way you do them, to be the way you are, if there's any offensive way in you, anything that's impure, ask Him to show you, because He will do. He will help you. The Holy Spirit that's in us longs to help us to purify our hearts. And then thirdly, build a true Sabbath rest into your lives. Take some time, at least once a week, to sit down with the Lord and reflect on how you're living your life. What's motivating you? What's it all about? What's driving you? And allow God to reorder your priorities, to center you again on His will and purpose, to help you to see things the way that He sees them, so that you can go forward from that point with a renewed dedication to Him. Three suggestions. Got all those down? Good. Okay. Let's give God an opportunity now, shall we, to speak into our hearts. You can stay seated. You don't have to stand. I'm just going to pray what the psalmist prayed, in effect. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Father, we look to You now. We ask You to shine Your light into our hearts. As we reflect on how we've been living, what's been driving us, what's been motivating us, show us if there's anything offensive, if there's anything impure. Help us to clean the windows so that we can see You clearly, so that we can draw really close to You. Because that's the longing of Your heart, and that's what we want to. Holy Spirit, we welcome You. Thank you, Lord. I hope that's been helpful to you. I hope it will be helpful to you in the days ahead. It would be very easy when you go out of this place this morning just to get back into normal ways of doing things, normal ways of operating. I would encourage you, and I hope this message this morning prompts you not to let that happen, but all the time to guard your hearts. It really is so important. God wants to give us so much more, to use us so much more, but if we're going to be able to handle that right, he needs our hearts to be pure. So it's so important that we really do guard our hearts, allow God to show us when any impurities creep in, not to just get back into normal operating mode.